Yo, yo, yo. What is up? What is up? What is up? Welcome back to Avery Sports Show. Here, recapping the Cup Finals, a little off-season talk. Want to have on someone who was down there in the trenches in Florida, in Vegas, covering the Cup Finals for NHL.com, but also he's a colleague of mine at the Hockey News. He's a site manager for our New York Rangers site. He's on Bleacher Report. He's got 9,000 jobs in hockey. But also, if anyone ever checks him, he's got a Hockey DB page and highlights his time playing at UMass and Mercyhurst. It is the one, the only, Joey Lazarus. Joey, welcome to the podcast, buddy. How you doing, sir?
Thank you for that very kind introduction, Avery. It's lovely to be here with you. And it's our first time face to face, so I'm excited to finally chat with you after, what feels like, a couple years of interacting. And let's let it rip, man. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me on.
No, of course, man. I want to have been for a bit. I got to ask you, first of all, I know I mentioned you were down in both Vegas and Florida for the Cup Finals, covering things for NHL.com. How's the body feeling? I know you were working, but you were enjoying yourself a little bit. I saw you both down in Vegas and Florida. I saw you hanging out with Jack Eichel. How are you feeling now? It's great to go down to Nashville for the draft.
I'm a work hard, play hard kind of guy. I got my coffee and my water next to me, and a little bit of Advil to the side. Those are the key ingredients to keep going. But I think the Stanley Cup Final, obviously, it's a dream to work, but you also want to have fun there. It's an awesome spectacle, and if I wasn't going out and taking advantage of being there and being with a ton of people in hockey, it would have been dumb to not do that. So. I definitely pushed my body to the limits, and thankfully I got to play in college, so I've learned a lot about recovery, and thank God that steam rooms exist because they've saved my life. I'm actually gonna hit the steam room right after this, but it was an absolute blast, and I'm sure Nashville is gonna be just as fun. So really excited to get down to Nashville as well.
Now, of course, that's gonna be a blast down to covering the NHL draft, and of course, the Cup Final. One that Vegas wins in 5 games. Just what are your thoughts on the series in which we saw the Vegas Golden Knights against Florida look like one of the strongest teams in the league? And Game 5 again, this is the team in which Vegas Golden Knights line 1 through 4 have been a very dominant team. What are your impressions on not just this Vegas win in 5, but Game 5 being a 9-3 route in which Vegas imposed their will really from the first 20 minutes onwards in that game, John?
Yeah, I mean, I think once it was announced that Kachuk wasn't playing, I don't think anyone gave Florida a chance in Game 5. But with that being said, like, I thought Florida was really strong in Game 1. I think everyone was saying that the first 2 games was all Vegas just because, it was 2-0 in the series, obviously coming back to Florida, and Vegas dominated that Game 2. But Game 1, it was a 2-2 game, going into the third period, and Vegas gets one. I believe it was Whitecloud that got the third goal to give the Golden Knights the lead. But a one goal game with like 7 minutes to go in the third period, Florida's playing pretty good. They're a little bit undisciplined, taking too many penalties. I think that was the storyline of them in Games 1 and Game 2. But Matthew Tkachuk tries to flip a puck out of the zone. Mark Stone makes an incredible play, hand-eye coordination, and goes top shelf on Bobrovsky to close out that game. But Florida could have easily been up 1-0 in the series, and who knows what would have happened had Florida taken Game 1. I don't think the Panthers were as bad as people think, but I also do think Vegas was that good. Vegas was certainly the better team. I don't think Florida, even had a chance to push it to a Game 7 once they went up 3-1. Vegas just seemed to have sucked the life out of them. And the Panthers were, I think, trying too hard, if that makes sense, right? Like, Paul Maurice talked about being over physical, and Vegas was just playing a simple game, separating the guy from the puck, where Florida, every hit they threw, they were trying to kill a guy. Which is part of the emotion that goes into it. So I think Vegas, in a sense, like, almost had that we've been here before mentality, and we're not going to let this slip, where Florida had that happy-go-lucky mentality all playoff long because they took down the Bruins and they were playing with house money. And I don't know if they were as locked in as the Golden Knights were. And you could sense it, and Vegas was the dominant team and took it in five.
No, it's a good point. You mentioned the physical play. We saw certain moments where Florida's trying to goad Vegas into taking those dumb penalties, and the Golden Knights wouldn't bite. You've probably seen Bruce Cassidy is a very disciplined head coach. We saw that Vegas team discipline, and Vegas didn't really do anything really outrageous except for the series against Edmonton where Pietrangelo tried to chop off Draisaitl's arm, which
That was
was
nuts.
a gong show. I saw it live. I was watching it live in the press box. I was like, "Holy cow! What the hell was that?" But beyond that, Vegas has been a very disciplined team. And what Bruce Cassidy is able to do is get the most out of this Golden Knights team. I know I know Cassie's time in Boston ran out. We know we heard about the issue with Cassie in Boston, and, you know, guys didn't like him and wanted him gone. But what he did in Vegas was amazing, and he's been the right coach for them since they hired him, John.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Bruce Cassidy was, you know, someone who maybe didn't get as much respect coaching-wise throughout the regular season. But, you know, as the playoffs went on, I think he started to come into that conversation. I think everyone, you know, somewhat raves about a John Cooper or a Rod Brindamore. And, you know, obviously those are two incredible coaches, and, you know, they might be a little bit more outspoken. Bruce Cassidy, you know, around these parts in New York, he had the rough reputation after he called the Islanders and New York Saints, I think like two or three postseasons ago, and then the Islanders ended up beating the Bruins. But yeah, I mean, I think he went in there and instilled what he believes to be successful in the NHL. And, you know, Vegas was a complete 200-foot team. And, you know, it shows that you don't necessarily need the best goalie to win the Stanley Cup. You need an overall sound structure, you know, offensively and defensively. You know, I think if you look at other rosters, I wouldn't say Vegas is the best roster on paper. But the way they play as a team is so solid, and that all starts with the head coach and Bruce Cassidy. So, you know, good for him. He seems to be a really cool guy as well. I interacted with him briefly, on the ice. And then obviously you see all the interviews and the parade and the video of him dancing, which is awesome. So, really always happy to see a coach, you know, change teams and have success right away. I think it's, you know, a really neat thing because, you know, it's wild to think that he spent about 6 years in Boston, you know, had a lot of success there, couldn't get it done, and then in 1 year with a new team is able to get over the hump. So it's just so weird how sports work. But, you know, kudos to him, and he did a phenomenal job coaching his team throughout the playoffs.
He mentioned the goaltending. This is a team that went through five goaltenders. They lose Ron Brossoit. They have John Quick come in. They have Aiden Hill be the guy ultimately to lead them to a Stanley Cup. Just what are your impressions on that? I know you've someone, of course, be someone who's played, you've probably seen teams change goaltenders, have to adjust the goaltending changes. We saw it with Vegas losing Laurent Brossoit in round two to Edmonton. Aiden Hill comes in, plays marvelous, knocks out the Oilers, knocks out Dallas. What have been your thoughts on this Vegas team, no matter the goaltender, finding ways to rebound? And those guys who come into net, stepping up for this team all season long, no matter what goaltender really was in net.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I did not give Aiden Hill credit until like the very last minute. You know, the whole time against the Stars, I was saying Jay Gottinger's the better goalie. He'll prevail at some point. You know, Aiden Hill is going to crack. He's going to crack. He's going to crack. And he never did. So he made me look foolish for the last 3 weeks. And, you know, got to give credit to him because he made some unbelievable saves in that Stanley Cup final. Not only that stick save on Nick Cousins, but he had an incredible glove save on Duclair in game five. There's one other one I think that sticks out. He had a great breakaway save on Barkov early on in game five, which could have given Florida the 1-0 lead. So Aiden Hill, you know, it's funny, right? Wayne Gretzky talked about it, a little bit on TNT earlier this year when he talked about goaltending, and he said, Grant Fuhr, you know, let up 5-6 goals a game some nights, but whenever you needed the big save, he was going to make it. And Aiden Hill is somewhat the same way, right? When you need the big save, Aiden Hill is going to make it. Same with Darcy Kemper last year for Colorado. He wasn't the best goalie in the NHL, but when Colorado needed a big save, Kemper was there to shut the door. So, you know, I think the team in front of Hill made it easier for sure, but Aiden Hill definitely held his own and deserves a ton of credit for, you know, getting this team a Stanley Cup, because the way he came in and taking down an Oilers team that, you know, I think outshot them 2-1 in game five and game six, and to shut that door, it really is impressive. And it goes to show you, right? Like, this is two different stories, right? Like, on the Florida end, you see how far when you have a good goalie, it can take you. You know, Sergei Bobrovsky obviously was super hot, and, you know, they rode his coattails the entire playoffs because of how strong he was playing since he came in the first round. And then you look at the flip side of Vegas, and you don't have the best goalie, but if you have a good team defense in front of you, you know, you can go just as far. So, it's interesting. There's like so many different recipes for success now in the NHL. And, you know, it was cool to see this storyline kind of play out.
And with this being a Vegas Ford Cup final, I know there was so much talk of, who wants to watch this? Who cares about Sun Belt hockey? This is bad for the game. And I know people from traditional markets were bashing the idea, but Johnny, I loved seeing two markets, one that's been around 30 years, one that's been around for just six, playing for a cup final, because I really believe these markets are going to be and are proven to be the future of hockey. I just don't understand this hate toward these new markets, because you're going to get more kids who are going to become Panther fans, Golden Knight fans, and we've already seen guys who are in the NHL who are from Florida, California, Nevada, Texas. So I think it's great. I want to see more of these kind of Sun Belt matchups in the Cup Final, Johnny. What are your thoughts on this being an all Sun Belt final?
Well, I'd much rather see the New York Rangers in the final, but you know, that's just personal preference. That's just personal preference. No, it's a good point because there actually is a, you know, some solid youth hockey out in Vegas as well that, you know, most people might not know about. I had two teammates actually like that I played with in juniors that grew up playing in the Vegas area. And you know, we talk about, you know, these markets and whatnot, and you see Auston Matthews go number one overall after growing up in Arizona and, you know, going to Coyotes games, watching those teams play. And I'm sure this run is going to, you know, bring us the first overall pick in 20 to 25 years that comes from Vegas. Like, that's just how it works, right? Like, you know, my age group, actually, it's funny. I'm a 96 birth year, and there's a lot of 96s from Florida that, you know, grew up rooting for the Panthers after their 96 cup run the year we were born. And, you know, they ended up playing the Division I level. Like a good friend of mine, Chase Prisky, who played at Quinnipiac and now is with the San Diego Gulls, but I think he's a free agent. You know, he comes from Florida. Shane Gostisbehere, Brandon Duhame, Andrew Peak, a couple other friends, Austin Bolio, who didn't play in pro but played Division I. So there's a good, you know, little foundation. Justin Kapelmaster's another one, actually. So there's a good foundation of kids from Florida around my age that, you know, were born into hockey somewhat from that Panthers run, and now we'll see that in Vegas. And listen, yeah, it's great to grow the game too. And I think the fans that, you know, hate on it, it's not anger, it's just jealousy. You know, I've been alive for 27 years. I haven't seen the Rangers win a Stanley Cup. Vegas is around 60 years. They win it. You know, it's just a jealousy kind of thing. Like, the, you know, New York has had one cup in the last like 82 years. So I don't think it's hate. It's just, you know, like, we just want to see our team win. That's really it. But for me, if, you know, the Rangers aren't in it, I don't care who wins at the end of the day. Like, you know, if it's not my team, like, you know, good for the game if it's anyone. So, yeah, I think it's awesome. And, you know, for me, covering the final, my first one ever, being in Vegas from Florida, definitely wasn't too shabby.
No, not at all. And I mentioned they are top, of course, you do except for NHL.com. What was that like for you covering a Cup final? Because I know it looked like a blast as someone who has never had a chance to do it. I've covered the playoffs, never covered a Cup final before, unfortunately, not yet at least. But just what is that like being down for the Cup final, just seeing the whole pop and circumstance and doing that day in, day out? Because that is, for anyone who works in hockey media, that is a bucket list thing to be able to cover, Johnny.
Oh yeah. I mean, you know, I'd be lying if I said it wasn't a dream come true. You know, it exceeded all my expectations, but it definitely is a little overwhelming. There's a lot going on all the time. And, you know, it's cool to see all the celebrities and former players and just people around the game of hockey that love the game that just show up and hang out. Like, I think that picture of Owen Wilson and Lil Jon, like, who the hell would have thought, you know, they'd be together at the game. That was pretty legendary. I wish I got to meet those two guys. But, you know, I think just what I didn't really understand until being there is how big of a spectacle the Stanley Cup final is. You know, it's somewhat of a, you know, if you're in the media, it's like a 2-week networking event where, you know, everyone's around all the time. And it's great to just, like, you know, put faces to names and meet people and have genuine conversations with people that, like, you follow on social media or that you idolize on TV. You know, I grew up watching a lot of the people that I was hanging out with for the last 2 weeks, and it was really cool to, you know, be in the mix with them and just, you know, talk to them in like a human being aspect, not, you know, listen, like, not hear them talking like as they're working. You know, here it's funny, right? Because you I'm not gonna name any names, but like, you watch people on TV all the time and you never hear them curse because they're so buttoned up and professional. And then when you hear these people that you listen to your whole life curse, it's like, whoa, I've never heard you know, it's like a crazy thing. So that was a funny little eye-opening thing for me. But yeah, I mean, the entire Stanley Cup final is just it's a lot of work, but it's also a lot of fun. And you know, that's something that I would have never known.
No, of course. And of course, you know, your team is New York Rangers. You're our site manager for the Hockey News covering the New York Rangers. And there's a team now that's going through some changes. We see Laviolette, now the head coach of this team, wants to do more. And just, what are your thoughts on what the Rangers are doing to try and go further next year? Because, again, you mentioned it, this team hasn't won a cup since 94. And over the past year, they seem to keep hitting a wall in which they can't take that next step. They haven't been to a cup final since 2014. Just, what are your thoughts on the team? What do we need to do to take the next step in the Eastern Conference next year, Johnny?
Well, I think the biggest thing for the Rangers, which is, you know, their one flaw, I mean, as skilled as they are, as talented as they are, and how good they are a really good team. They have great goaltending, solid defense, you know, good special teams, very talented forwards, but they don't have that in-your-face, angry type of style to them. Mm. And I think that's something that became very prevalent, I think, with the teams we watched go further in the playoffs. Like, a team like Florida constantly in your face. They're not, you know, they have a lot of skill, but they don't play such a pretty cute game. You know, same with Carolina, right? Carolina is probably the most like in your face team in the NHL. And then you look on the other side, Vegas and Dallas, like really played physical in their conference final. You know, they seem to step it up in that regard, which is something the Rangers can't really do. And that's something you can't really force, right? Like you have a guy like Artemi Panarin and Mika Zibanejad who are such skilled guys, and you want them to be physical, but you don't want to take away from what they're good at. So, you know, there was a stretch in the first round where Panarin was trying to throw the body and Mika was trying to throw the body, and it's just not their game. And I think it kind of threw the Rangers off a little bit because the Devils were playing so fast and physical themselves that the Rangers almost, you know, were taken, or the Devils, excuse me, took the Rangers game away from them. And that's where the coaching comes in, right? That's where the adjustments come in. And that's what Bruce Cassidy did so well when his team was down the next game. They were going to watch film and they were going to make the adjustments and have the proper answer for the problem that their opponent would throw at them. So I think that's the biggest thing for the Rangers is they weren't able to adjust to team speed. The Devils are one of the fastest teams in the NHL. And, you know, when you look at that first round series, I think, you know, it's crazy, right? Like a lot of the narrative is, you know, what happened to the Rangers. But for me, when you watch games one and games two, the Rangers were completely dominant. So like, it's where the hell were the Devils in game one and game two? You know, the Devils were throughout the, you know, the game three through game seven, that was the Devils that we watched all season. So, you know, I don't know what happened to them in games one and game two. And I know I'm steering away from the Rangers a little bit more, but it's just recency bias over the, in that series that they just played. And I think it's just evident the Rangers need a little bit more speed and a little bit more grit to their game because you can play as cute as you want, but if you want to go deep in the playoffs, the physical aspect and the compete level is what's going to get you to the top.
And we mentioned this postseason. I know one thing that was pretty much telegraphed was going to happen for a long time was his team going out and acquiring Patrick Kane as their big asset. And we saw late in the year and this postseason, Patrick Kane wasn't the guy who was going to bring over the hump. We know he battled injuries over the past year here. And really, it was one of the more disappointing acquisitions by Chris Drury. And just what do you think Chris Drury is going to do? Because I know you mentioned speed and grit, but that was easily one of the more disappointing acquisitions this year for this group, Johnny.
You know, I don't want to say Kane was so bad. Like he did some positive things, but obviously not enough in what the Rangers needed. Mm-hmm. That being said, I know he's going to be out, you know, like 4 to 6 months with this hip surgery. And, you know, obviously it's going to be a little bit questionable on how he is when he returns. But I would think the Rangers try to sign him and keep him on LTIR and see what he can do toward the end of the season. I don't know if he necessarily wants to go anywhere else. So if the Rangers can get him for a little bit of a cheaper price, you know, it might be worth it to have him here. I mean, as far as players in the power play go, Patrick Kane's definitely, you know, one of the best power play players in the NHL. And if not the best, you know, American power play forward ever. So I think the Rangers will try to keep him. And, you know, like I said, I don't know if any other team is going to really want to take a chance on him. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
I know I mentioned off the top, you're going to be down in Nashville this week. Have you been down there before?
I was in Nashville for my brother-in-law's bachelor party, which was a fun time. So this one's going to have to try to top that. But I, you know, it's different because, you know, that it's not really me and my comfort zone necessarily. I'm with him and his friends. So, you know, I'm like, I'm just the brother of the bride. So, you know, I got to just mix it in with him and whatnot. So this time I'm going around with some of my buddies. So I'll be a little bit more loose, a little bit more dangerous. So we'll see how that one plays out. I'm just going to try to stay out of trouble.
That's a good call. But I do want to ask about that draft. Is there anyone you're hoping that Chris Drury targets? Is there a name from that prospect pool next week that you really see Chris Drury try to draft that's on your mind at all, Johnny?
To be completely transparent, I haven't paid such close attention to this draft class. I've just been so busy with watching, you know, a lot of NHL playoffs and, you know, covering the league right now that I haven't had the time to watch any junior games and whatnot. So I don't know, like, you know, after like the first seven picks, I don't really know much about this class.
Fair.
You know, with that being said, though, I would like to see the Rangers maybe make a trade. I know Barclay Goodrow has been in the talks for a couple weeks, and I could see the Rangers trying to make a splash here at the draft. I don't think the Rangers need any more draft picks. You know, I think right now they have a good young core that's on the come up. And, you know, there's obviously been somewhat of an issue developing the prospects in the last decade or so. So, you know, I would like to see the Rangers maybe make a trade or even trade a draft pick and, you know, try to build this team to win now because, you know, I don't think the Rangers are building something for the next 5 to 7 years. They're really looking at that 2 to 4 year window to get a cup here in New York. So there's no particular player, but I'd like to see some roster moves maybe in Nashville this next week.
All right, fair enough. Come over before I let you go here. I know one thing I mentioned, you're like me, you got 900 jobs in the hockey world, And one of them is you argue with Bleacher Report. And one thing really cool is seriously, you're skating around with players, you're asking guys on the ice different questions, quirky questions. So I got to ask you, who's the one player you want to talk to you haven't done that with yet? And is there one player, past or present, you would have loved to do that with? Dead or alive, you would have loved to just skate around and ask him any question.
Oh, I mean, past player for me, Sean Avery is definitely the first name that comes to mind. I mean, he was my favorite player growing up, and that guy, you never knew what was going to come out of his mouth. So, skating around with him would be pretty fun. Might be a little bit controversial too, but it'd be fun for sure. And I think as far as current players go, I have okay, so I haven't done one. I think I had one set up with Jack Hughes and the Devils, but. I think there was a conflict in scheduling, but Jack Hughes would be a fun one. I've gotten to talk to him a couple of times, covering the Ranger Devils series, and I've actually, gone out with him a few times. Coincidentally, not purposely. I've just seen him at a bar a couple of times, and he's just a really cool dude. And he's actually become my favorite player. Like I will, openly say that Jack Hughes is my favorite player in the NHL right now. I think everything he does is just truly remarkable to watch, not only on the ice, but also his personality off the ice is great. And I think he's changing the game a little bit off the ice, just being himself and, not giving those basic hockey answers in interviews. He's truly just showing his own emotion and wearing his heart in his sleeve. So I'm a huge Jack Hughes fan, and I'd love to do a lap with him. I think that'd be super fun also. He's a really cool guy and, obviously a very special player. So that's one that I'd love to do. Maybe not the most typical answers you'd get in that question. I feel like someone would say Wayne Gretzky or Mario Lemieux or Mark Messier and past players, but for me, I root for guys that I like, and I've gotten to meet these guys. I've interviewed Sean Avery, and that's something that I guess is different as you get older and as you work in the industry. Obviously you have your favorite team, but then you also want to see the guys that are good to you succeed. So that's something that I pride myself on as well, is just rooting for people that have done me the right way,
Of course, and watching your content, Johnny, I can tell these guys love interactions with you. They're comfortable with you. And of course, there's that bond you guys have being people who've played at high levels of hockey. Of course, you play Division One hockey. It's a bond and connection that a lot of people in media don't have. That's special to what you are able to do in your videos and your work. And heck, I said off the top of this show, there's footage, there's highlights of you scoring in Division One games. Like,
not
wait.
many.
I mean, some guy checked you and he pulled up a YouTube video of your own goal. Like, that's a flex, my guy. That is a
Yeah.
flex and a half.
I got that one teed up. that one's in my favorites in my camera roll, just in case anyone chirps me. Well, if someone says, like, dude, you don't know hockey, I'm just gonna throw that up there. And listen, I'm all for the weird brags. I think it's good fun. And listen, I'm not always right. Like anyone can dunk on me, but if I have that in my back pocket, it definitely helps me out a little bit,
No, of course, man. Last one for I gotta ask you. I know I mentioned you've done cup finals, you've done outdoor games. Is there any event in the NHL that you really want to say this year? Oh, I want to get to this event. What is it going to be next year for you, Johnny?
Well, selfishly, there's preseason games in Australia, and that's a bucket list place for me to go. I'd love to go to
Yep, me
Australia.
too.
I am dying to go on that trip. I'll do anything because that's a place where, like, you can't really take a weekend off or a week off to go to Australia. It's like a 25-hour flight or something. So,
Right.
I'd love to go to Australia. That'd be super cool for me. And yeah, I mean, I've done, I haven't been to an All-Star game. I think that'd be cool. And obviously next year's in Toronto, which is going to be quite the spectacle. I'm sure it's going to be absolutely incredible having, the NHL All-Star game in basically the city of hockey. So that'll be really cool. But yeah, for me, it's Australia all day. Like I'm dying to go there. I think that'd be sick.
Me too, man. Yo, that'll be fun. I may have to put a bug into Graham Rusin's ear about maybe a company trip down for these games in Melbourne.
Throw my name in the mix.
Think that would be really cool. Yeah, Australia, that would be dope. I never covered an outdoor game, so this coming season, covering Heritage Classic is something I really would love to do. But I mean, hey, Edmonton, Calgary, the Battle of Alberta, let's go.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been to a Heritage Classic. Going to Edmonton or Calgary is not necessarily a bucket list place for me, but I'm sure I'll hopefully end up there at some point.
I know, the reception of these two cities, a lot's changed. These are two fun cities. So don't let people saying don't go to Alberta dismay you as a hockey guy. These are fun cities to come in and enjoy some hockey. You ever make your way to Edmonton, dude? I'll show you around. We'll have a good time in the city, buddy.
I got to make it to the Stampede. That's what everyone raves about.
Yo, the Stampede, that can be a good time. And there's some legendary stories about the Calgary Stampede. that are not really fit for this show, but we'll talk about off air. Oh, man, Johnny, thank you for coming on Avery Sports Show. It was a blast. Got to do it again sometime. And next year, I got to come down to a Rangers game. I've never been to MSG. I got to experience that, buddy. See what it's talking about.
Thanks, Avery. Appreciate it. Anytime. And I appreciate you having me on. This is fun.